from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Given that the IG's report reflects interactions that Andy McCabe had with me and other FBI senior executives, I could well be a witness.
How do you feel about your former deputy, according to the Inspector General, lying to you, lying to investigators, for a leak that the Inspector General said was only motivated to preserve his own reputation, having nothing to do with the FBI or the public's right to know?
Yeah, conflicted. I like him very much as a person, but sometimes even good people do things they shouldn't do.
How true. That's James Comey in an interview on CNN. Happy Friday, everyone. This is Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. Tony's in Israel with a group of folks. They're having a great time, as you've been hearing this week. He'll be back, Lord willing, on Monday. Well, the drama in the news just continues. Will the mainstream media ever cover the issues that President Trump is tackling? Well, I don't know. We'll see. Justice Department watchdog is probing memos written by former FBI Director James Comey. The memos have now been released to Congress and the DNC. Can you believe this? Suing Russia and the Trump administration. And Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein told President Trump that he's not a target in the Mueller-Cohen probes. Haven't we been saying that? In a criminal referral for Andrew McCabe. Congressman Dave Brad of Virginia, one of our favorites, will be here with the latest. And President Donald Trump recently signed an executive order aimed at welfare reform. The left, as you can imagine, is revolting against the executive order President Trump signed on welfare reform and expanding work requirements for people receiving food stamps. Emery McClendon of the Project 21 will be here to share his insights. And we'll go all the way to Israel and hear from Tony Perkins himself, as he's leading a group there in the Holy Land. He'll bring us a one-on-one interview with Pastor Dean Hahn of the First Baptist Church in Morristown, Tennessee, on the importance of supporting Israel. And then I'll share a few thoughts as we remember the life and legacy of Barbara Bush. All of this great content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me, R. Jones Reports. Well, at least two memos that former FBI Director James Comey gave to a friend thought to be outside of government contained information that officials now consider classified. And the Department of Justice's Office of the Inspector General has referred fired FBI Director Deputy Director Andrew McCabe to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia for criminal prosecution. And as I mentioned earlier, DNC suing the Russian government, the Trump campaign, and WikiLeaks for allegedly disrupting the 2016 campaign. With us now is Congressman Dave Brat. He represents the 7th Congressional District of Virginia. He serves on the Committee on the Budget and a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Well, that was a mouthful, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a lot to keep up with. I mean, the first fact is just Comey leaked these memos to prompt the special counsel in the first place. And then basically he just really threw Rosenstein under the bus today in all the interviews. He said, you know, he didn't have confidence in the Department of Justice to do their job, so he had to leak information to get the outcome he preferred. And, I mean, if that doesn't tell you who's politicizing the FBI, I mean, that's pretty incredible news breaking on its own.
Yeah,
and there's all sorts of other issues that are related to it, as you just brought up.
Well, there isn't really any piece of information that's new here, is there, in these memos that suggest there's collusion and obstruction, right?
No, it's kind of the opposite. I mean, there's kind of language in there that shows that the president said, hey, go investigate. I'm not aware of anybody that's done anything wrong, and get the truth out there. So, I mean, it's kind of put Comey in a bad spot, and either Comey or Rosenstein is not telling the truth. Their accounts contradict each other, and so someone's not telling the truth, and then there may be, based on this, criminal convictions coming out of this, and so we'll see about that.
So, Congressman, are you back in the district?
Yeah, I worked in the district all day, went around, had about 5 great meetings with constituents and the fire emergency services and just a bunch of great groups who serve our community.
Well, let me ask you this, and I don't think I'm unusual. Are most folks just kind of fed up with the drama and the ongoing barrage of information that's coming out that just seems to not be going anywhere? I see a lot of my friends and family, they're really interested in what President Trump is doing on the policy front.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I hear from people, conservatives and liberals. I live in a, normal suburban neighborhood, and both sides are just checked out from watching the news, is what they say. But it is kind of interesting. I mean, CNN and MSNBC, the ratings go up in relation to this news story. They've had record ratings. So it's kind of a strange world we live in. Up is down now, and down is up. There's no reporting on the main news. You know, I taught economics for 20 years, mm-hmm. and I'm on the budget committee. And so we now have growth of 3.3%. Wages are going up by 3%, and none of this is covered by the news. And that's enough, by the way, to pay for the tax cut. So Nancy Pelosi's out saying, in 5 seconds, the bill doesn't pay for the tax cut. Well, that's true, but the bill isn't the economy. What you care about is the economic growth covering the tax cut, and it is. We paid for our spending, and then to get 9 Democrat senators, we had to spend $400 billion extra in the omnibus that I'm sure you guys have discussed. And so that's the news that's not getting reported.
Yeah, that's a great point. And of course, wouldn't want to cover that.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Has politics gotten so bad that it's not allowing for policy debates?
Yeah, no, it is that bad. And I mean, conservatives understand human nature, right? I mean, James Madison went to Princeton Seminary, where I went, and wrote the Constitution with the basic understanding that you should separate power every which way you can for precisely this reason, because the politics, now it's all been federalized, right? We've taken the power from the state and local, and then the executive and the congressional have given up their own powers because we don't want to vote on things. And so, the wheels are kind of flying off. We're $21 trillion in debt alone, and $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities, and we've got to get to work on policy. But, and this is the main point that people should take away, the anger and the animosity out there over the politics is largely because we're growing the federal government. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to put it in its simplest terms, that's what Madison knew and the founders knew. If you grow the size of the federal government beyond a certain point, and we are there, you should expect a war, because everyone's going up there with their lobbyists to get their billion-dollar piece of the pie.
Right. And Congressman, now we're hearing that the Democratic National Convention has filed a lawsuit against the Trump campaign and the Russian government. I think a lot of folks are just trying to wrap their head around that. How do you sue a sovereign nation?
Right. Well, that's what the Democrats do, and the mainstream media is with them in all of this, right? They want to delay policy and obstruct any progress. So that's what all you do is, whether it's got merit or not, you just waste resources and sue and stop the Republican agenda from moving forward. And the Democrats are very good at politics. And then the mainstream media, as soon as you walk out of votes every day, for the last whole year, the mainstream press comes up to you and says, hey, there's breaking news on the Comey. There's a whole new memo that came out that's devastating against the White House. Have you read it? And you say, well, no, I'll get with you as soon as I have. And then you read it, and it's not devastating.
Yeah.
And this has happened for a full year of just they make charges, and then it's up to Republicans to prove that you're innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the meme. They just continually attack, and then we have to spend resources proving innocence, or at least putting your side of the story out to the American people. And that's not very efficient economically, right? So we're wasting tons of society's time and resources because of this political brawl. And so the American people are going to have to make up their mind. Do you want a total federal government in charge of all your life or not? And I know where your listeners are, but they need to spread the word to their neighbors.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we're talking with Congressman Dave Brat. He represents the 7th Congressional District of Virginia. Let me ask you this. Do you think all this impeachment talk, and that's really what they're after, isn't it? I mean, they're not going to stop. They're just going to keep pushing and pushing. But do you think that's hurting Democrats?
Yeah, I do, but it's a tricky one because they have the energy level at their back. In Virginia last year, the blue wave was real. And I think it's fading a bit as people find out about the activism and where the truth lies. So at first, the left was pretty effective, you know, spreading their narrative and, you know, Russia, 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 and all this. And so, you know, the American people, you know, I heard it on the news. It must be true.
Yeah.
And now it's been so long, and the economy actually is moving, and we're hiring people again, and wages are going up, and everybody's getting their stock market report at the end of the month, and they got a little bit more in their retirement. And so, I mean, it's like you hear the news, and then you see reality, and the reality looks like we're doing pretty good. And so I think they're starting to scratch their head and figure it out.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I look at my 401ks and my pension funds, and I was like, wow, look at this. I get these bonuses. I'm getting these good performance bonuses and whatnot. And then I turn on the news, and I can hardly watch some of the other cable news networks. It's so depressing. I mean, by the time I get through, it's like I got to call a therapist or something. It's a grind. It's how much can we wear folks down with this narrative?
Yep, and even on the international front, right, they're stalling Pompeo, and it looks like, I mean, that you got to be cautiously optimistic, right? The conservatives aren't utopians, but when North Korea is using the term denuclearization, that's pretty positive. It's like we've messed things up for, you know, 30, 40 years in the Middle East and with Korea. We could have solved some of these things easily if we would have done the right thing, you know, decades ago. But now it looks like the Trump administration's making some progress on Korea, and none of that's being reported. These are major moves that have real implications for peace in the future.
Yeah, I know Mike from my years in Kansas, a very good man, very good candidate for that position. And frankly, a lot of folks were impressed that he met with the president of North Korea over Easter, yet hardly any a word.
Right. No, I mean, he's made right. Harvard Law, I think, and then West Point, which is the brightest of the brightest and, you know, a true patriot. And he's not only West Point, he's first in his class at West Point.
Right.
And then he goes on and runs for Congress, and then he's the head of the CIA. And it's about as good a resume and life trajectory as you could have. And they're asking whether he is qualified.
Right.
He's probably the most qualified guy in D.C.
Yeah.
And that just shows the American people, right, where the politics is at right now.
Well, Congressman, we're out of time. Thanks so much. By the way, been enjoying the docuseries you're in.
Good. That's a fun little one. Yeah, thank you, Russ. Great interview. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Hey, you have a blessed weekend, and we thank you for your service.
God bless you. You bet.
All right, thank you. Well, coming up next, President Trump is purchasing welfare reform. Able-bodied individuals should work. Really? That's a novel idea. The left hates it. Emory McClendon of Project 21, he's up next when we return. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's Friday, Shabbat Shalom. Get ready for some rest. Take a break. Hug on your kids. Hug on your family. We'll be back after this. Hello, this is Tony Perkins from Washington Watch. You know, in all my years here at the Family Research Council, one of the things that encourages me the most about you, our listeners, is your willingness to help advance the things that matter most: faith, family, and freedom. Your support is enabling FRC to play a major role in the current administration's actions to protect religious freedom, as well as rolling back threats to pastors' free speech rights, just to name a few. But your help is needed for the work ahead as we seek to protect religious freedom in the military and finally defund Planned Parenthood. Please stand with FRC right at this moment.
You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or make a gift by calling 1-800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008, or go to TonyPerkins.com. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
Hi there. Let's play a word association game. Are you ready? When I say Washington, D.C., what's the first thing you think of? If you're like many Americans, a word like corruption might top the list, but Christian might be the last thing you'd associate with Washington, D.C. Well, the truth is that Christians have voice in our nation's capital. For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been working daily to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. When the Christian worldview is being pushed out of the public, FRC is there to stand firm on a biblical vision for America. Will you stand with us? To learn more about Family Research Council and to find out how you can stand with us in defense of faith, family, and freedom, please visit FRC.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news and ways you can take action. Again, that's FRC.org. Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass.
Where is our country headed? Are we moving in the right direction? Mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. and join hundreds of Americans that want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Kellyanne Conway, Secretary Ben Carson, and Sean Hannity. Don't miss the early bird price of $99 at valuesvotersummit.org.
Well, thanks for traveling along with us. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony's in Israel. Yeah, I've been there 5 times. Wish I was there. One of my most favorite spots on the planet. We're going to hear from him in just a little bit. Well, the president's welfare reform plan calls for addressing the challenges of people who may find it hard to find and keep jobs, including single parents, ex-convicts, the homeless, substance abusers, the disabled, and disconnected youth. With us now is Emory McClendon of Fort Wayne, Indiana, a member of the Project 21 National Advisory Council, a conservative policy group. Emory, welcome to Washington Watch.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you. Glad to be here.
I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk about this. Well, as you can imagine, and as you know, the left is none too pleased about this executive order that the president signed.
No, they're not. They're spreading already rumors about falsities that this executive order has, and they're downplaying it, of course, because one of the specific goals of the left and of the Democrat progressives is to keep as many people as they can on the welfare rolls and under dependency as they can, because that guarantees them power and guarantees them a base of people who always have that dependency upon them.
Now, isn't this really just about holding able-bodied welfare recipients accountable to their own behavior and actions, though?
Yes, it is. And that's what our president wants, you know, through this executive order. He wants to revamp welfare. He wants those that are young enough, those that are able-bodied, to work, to learn what it means to be in the workforce, to give them some individual responsibility, and also build up their confidence in the workplace so that they can grow in the upward mobility of the American economy.
Well, Emory, back in the day, 2 weeks after I turned 16, I was laying in the bed in Kansas City, and my mama came up there. She ripped those covers out off of me, and she said, "You get your little blankety-blank out of that bed. I don't want to see the whites of your eyes until you have a job." and you are not going to sit around here all summer. So I don't know what it's like to, you know, sit around and depend on others. I've worked my entire life since I was 16, and I think there's a lot of folks that are like that. But we're not talking about folks that truly do have disabilities. We're talking about folks that should be out working, right?
Yes, and it's really not a tough requirement, because look at what work can do to a person. We need to get back to family values, and one of the greatest things about having family values is that the children can see their mother and their father working together to grow the family and to make themselves a success. That breeds also into the children a willingness to do something, a willingness to want to reach up and pull themselves up also and do better for themselves. And this, I think is one of the good things about this, is that we're trying to turn people around who have been taught through government agencies to be failures to now become productive citizens in the community and also find ways to improve themselves and also give an active role model to their children.
Now, the order says the federal government should do everything within its authority to empower individuals by providing opportunities for work, including by investing in federal programs that are effective at moving people into the workforce and out of poverty. Let me ask you this. The White House noted that welfare enrollment is at an all-time high despite near-record low unemployment. How does that work?
Well, the reason why is because those who are on those roads have not been encouraged to get off. They've not been encouraged to have incentives whereby they can look at their lives and want to be better. They've been held back, and they've been held back on purpose by the government and by these programs. There's no accountability whatsoever. All it does is penalizes families from being together. It penalizes mothers from living with the fathers. It penalizes those who would work to not work. It's saying that I will give you X amount of dollars if you have so many children, and for each additional child that you have, we will give you more money. So that discourages people from entering into the workforce. It also discourages fathers from being in the home and families working together to improve themselves.
Mm. Well, you know, in Kansas, where I lived for a couple of decades, for example, after the state implemented work requirements for able bodies, childless adults on food stamps there, and the caseloads dropped some 75%, and the average amount of time on welfare was cut in half. So that's a good example, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and that's not the only state. Virginia, Indiana, and several other states have shown the same type of statistics. And this is what we need. We need to encourage people to get out and fend for themselves. Most people are not bad. Most people are not slick. They're not trying to get over on the system. They have this God-given innate wisdom in themselves that they want to do better. However, when you give people something and then you make them dependent upon you and you don't give them any other opportunity except to stay home or except to not enter into the workforce, they become accustomed to this. And then it becomes a generational thing, because one generation sees the other generation not doing anything and they follow in the footsteps.
Yeah, that's a really excellent point. It's almost like the government has been a drug, has become a drug. Dependency, would that be a way to look at it?
Yes, and they've done so much to poor families to continue on this dependency generation after generation. You know, they give them nothing to look forward to. And what they're doing is they're stifling their growth. They're stifling that God-given innate ability among them to do better, that individual responsibility. And it's taking them to a new level of lowness where they feel like they can never achieve and never get out of the continuing cycle. But that's not true, because if you give people an opportunity to do good, they will do good. And that's why I think that the training and the looking at each different organization within our government and finding new ways to improve how they train, how they give people opportunities, is going to be very good for America, because it'll break down these non-opportunities and give people something to look forward to.
Well, Emory, thank you so much. Very insightful. We're out of time. We appreciate you coming on the show with us, and you have a great, great weekend. Thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you, and we're happy to be here.
All right. Thank you. That's Emery McClendon of the Project 21. Folks, nothing makes you feel better than working and working for a good cause. Well, coming up next, we're going to go to Tony Perkins all the way in Israel. He talked with Dean Hahn, pastor of First Baptist Church in Morristown, Tennessee. You're not going to want to miss this. They're going to talk about why it's so vitally important to support Israel. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. This is because transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. Yet even the federal government has stated that there is no evidence that gender reassignment surgery has improved health outcomes. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. I want to thank Russ for filling in for me today as we're still in Israel. But I wanted to jump in here for just a moment because we just got off the Sea of Galilee. Last night, if you were listening, we were talking with Michelle Bachmann, General Jerry Boykin, and Ambassador Kim Blackwell sitting next to the Sea of Galilee. And if you missed that, you can find the archived copy at TonyPerkins.com. But we were out on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and one of our teaching pastors that is with us is Pastor Dean Hahn. He pastors First Baptist Church of Morristown, Tennessee, and he's the second time he's been with us doing remarkable teaching. But I wanted to bring him in on the conversation because, you know, many Christians are saying, you know, I just don't know why we need to be worried about Israel, why we need to be supportive of Israel. And there's some undercurrents right now in the evangelical world that I believe are contrary to Scripture, but certainly undermining the relationship between the United States and Israel, and I think biblical truth. Joining me now is Pastor Dean Hahn. As I mentioned, he's pastor of First Baptist Church in Morristown. Dean, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony. It's an honor to be on the radio program, but it's an honor to be here with you and with almost 200 people that have gathered together on this trip to Israel, and it certainly is a trip of a lifetime. Honor to be with you.
Well, we began this morning. You did a teaching at the Mount of Beatitudes, the Mount of the New Covenant, and there's something about being here that brings the Scripture alive.
No question. I came on my very first trip to Israel in 1998. My testimony is that my Bible had been, of course, wonderful and black and white, but once I came to Israel, it became high definition. And I tell everyone that I was born again in 1972, and my Bible got born again in 1998 on my first trip to Israel. It's amazing what happens to the Word of God when you are actually standing in the very areas where all of these things took place, where Jesus walked, where Paul preached, where Peter proclaimed the message of the gospel. It is an amazing thing that transpires in your heart, your soul, your spirit, when you're actually able to walk in these places.
Now, Pastor Dean, I've actually read and heard your sermons that you have preached on Israel, and you've been pretty outspoken about the need for the church, Christians, to stand with Israel.
I absolutely believe that, not only in a political sense, and of course we're so thrilled that our country stands with Israel, especially our current administration standing with Israel, but also in a spiritual and biblical sense. I believe it's imperative that we stand with Israel, with the Jewish people, because God is not finished with them yet. We have not, as the church, replaced them. We have been grafted in. And as a result of what God is doing with the Jewish people, He has brought them back to the land to prepare the place and the platform for the coming again of Messiah. He has not broken His covenants with them. The covenant was for the lineage and the land. He has not broken that covenant. In fact, if you want to put the whole Bible together, you can do so by thinking about the lineage, the land, the lamb who came the first time, and the lion who's coming again. Or, as we've talked about, the seed, the soil, the Savior who came to die on the cross and be raised from the grave, and the sovereign who is coming again. We believe, and all biblical prophecy requires, that Israel be back in the land. How are the Jewish people going to look upon the one whom they pierced, according to the prophet Zechariah, if they are scattered all over the earth and they are not back in the land? He is not coming to reveal Himself to the Arab people or even to the Gentiles, although that will be a part of it. But He is coming to primarily reveal Himself first and foremost to the Jewish people because of His covenant. And because God says, I have established my word, my name is at stake. If I do not do this, my name, my reputation is at stake. So this is an act of sovereign God. And I personally believe as a pastor that anyone who stands against Israel, against the Jewish people, and it doesn't mean that they don't have faults and that they're perfect. And it doesn't mean that we cast disparaging comments or ways on the Palestinian or Arab people. But if we stand against the Jewish people, we are actually standing against the sovereign plans and purposes of God.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. As I mentioned, just jumping in here for Russ for just a segment to bring you an update from Israel. As we've got a group of about 200 friends and supporters here in Israel. Pastor Dean Hahn, I'm talking with right now, one of our teaching pastors that's with us on the trip. Pastor Dean, let me just quickly follow up on that. What you're saying is there is a place for America and Christians to correct Israel if they're not right on an issue. It doesn't mean that we agree with everything that they do, but this is much deeper from a theological standpoint as Christians. And there's no other way to explain what's happened in this land in the last 70 years except that God's hand has been upon this. So either you're with what God is doing or you're against it.
There's no question, Tony. In fact, one of the things that we'll talk about on this trip is that all of the modern wars of Israel are not studied by today's generals across the world because they don't make any sense. Because Israel has miraculously won victory after victory after victory. And it's like God's sovereign hand is birthed them, is keeping them together, and He's going to reveal His purposes later. So there is no question whatsoever in my heart, my opinion, according to the Word of God, that what we are seeing with our very eyes today is absolutely an act of sovereign God.
Pastor Dean Hahn, again, great to have you on the program today, but also great to have you on the trip.
Thank you, Brother Tony. It's a great honor. And let me just say one other thing. The Family Research Council is an incredible blessing to me as a pastor because they help me and they stand beside me as I take a stand on the absolute authority of God's Word.
Well, thank you. Well, folks, that's all the time I have here in Israel. Back to Russ here after this break, and we'll catch up with you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Somewhere out there right now, a teacher is using a new technique, not to teach some new math method, but to control the emotions of children in the classroom. Sounds like a conspiracy theory, doesn't it? It's not.
Social-emotional learning, known as SEL, is a new catchphrase that now dominates public education policy. However, hidden behind the SEL claim of building kids' self-confidence is a statist agenda of social engineering that insists on total conformity of thought. It disregards the genuine individuality of students and their family relationships and requires monitoring and tracking of their emotions. Don't miss FRC's new speaker series event featuring Stella Morabito, in which she discusses how SEL is programming our children by enforcing conformity, invading privacy, and undermining the influence of family and faith in a child's life. Learn more at frc.org/SEL. Again, that's frc.org/SEL.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. The month of February marked the bicentennial of Frederick Douglass's birth, so it is a fitting time to reflect on the legacy of this great author, scholar, humanitarian, and entrepreneur who served five United States presidents. In an exclusive Family Research Council speaker series event, Reverend Dean Nelson, chairman of the board for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and Colin Hanna, president of Let Freedom Ring, explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, a husband, and a father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Again, that is frc.org/Douglass.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
The third choice that must not be missed is to cherish your human connections, your relationships with family and friends. For several years, you've had impressed upon you the importance to your career of dedication and hard work. And of course, that's true. But as important as your obligations as a doctor, a lawyer, a business leader will be, you are a human being first. And those human connections with spouses, with children, with friends are the most important investment you will ever make. At the end of your life, you will never regret not having passed one more test, winning one more verdict, or not closing one more deal. You will regret time not spent with a husband, a child, a friend, or a parent.
Barbara Bush, delivering the commencement address for the class of 1990 at Wellesley College. Powerful stuff. Thousands are expected to attend her public viewing today. She's lying in repose in a Houston church. And faith, family, and friends were the big points of her life that really mattered. And was reflecting on that. You know, I'm not sure she ever really earned a paycheck, but she worked her tail off taking care of her family and her children and being a rock in that family. And that dawned on me that there won't ever be a test or another deal that we'll miss, but missing time with family and friends, and that really hit me the other night. We went to a movie, and I had a bag of popcorn. And the next day, I was doubled over in pain. So much pain that I wound up going to the doctor, then wound up at the hospital getting a CAT scan. And there's this thing called diverticulosis, which leads up to diverticulitis. Well, diverticulosis is an inflammation in your colon. And these pouches develop and matter gets caught in there and can get infected. Well, I'm on two really high-powered antibiotics, really messing with me. And the irony in all of this is I'm such a foodie. I could have easily been an executive chef, could have gone to culinary school. My spiritual gift is the gift of hospitality and loving on others through food and creating a welcoming environment. I love to eat, but more importantly, I love to cook for people and just built a big outdoor kitchen here. And I've been having to eat all of this really bland food. And it's like, what's up with this? And it's interesting at 58 years of age. You start looking at life and you're seeing fewer days ahead of you than you see behind you. And just, you know, been thinking about my kids and my decisions in life. And have I served well? Have I served nobly? And it's funny what you think about when you're going through a CAT scan and told to hold your breath and then exhale so they can see what's going on. And it was rather surreal. It's a powerful moment. And I called my dad. He has diverticulitis. He struggles with it. So I guess it's in hereditary. But it's been kind of emotional around all that this week. And what about you? I want to hear from you here in our remaining moments about faith, family, and friends. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. And I know we talk about politics here all the time, and that's what we do. We bring you the news that's important so you can make decisions, so you can be an influence. But at the end of the day, isn't it really about our faith in Jesus Christ, Yeshua, our Messiah, and our family and our friends? And I know there's so much brokenness in the world and brokenness in our families. But when it comes down to it, that's really all that matters, isn't it? Give us a call. Give me a call. I'd like to hear from you. 866-372-7234. I've heard from some of you. It's kind of fun to hear from folks that listen to you on the radio. And I appreciate your encouragement and your words. But Barbara Bush did indeed leave a legacy. It may not have been big policies that she got passed in legislation, in the legislature, or laws that are enacted. But she, and whether you agree or disagree with her, that's not what I'm talking about. But she has left us the truth of the importance of faith, family, and friends, and how important that is. And I know it's important to me, and I just want my family to know how much I love them. I want my kids to know how much they matter to me. In the times maybe I've disappointed them or haven't said the right thing or done the right thing, in my heart of hearts, I've tried to lead in a way that would honor God. Let's go to Pat in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Pat. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. I'm glad I could get with you. I appreciate your call and all Tony does. Just wanted to share with you that when I was 50, I ended up having a ileostomy where my whole colon was taken out. And I was where you were, but it was a little bit earlier in my life. And there were people that came alongside and stood with me and gave me the strength to get through, and I have a new life after no colon. So life does go on, and I just want to keep you in prayer and thank you for what you do.
Well, Pat, thank you. I appreciate you sharing that information up there in Memphis. So I appreciate that. You have a blessed weekend. Thanks for calling Washington Watch. Let's go to Andrea in Tennessee. Hi, Andrea. Did we lose Andrea? I think we let. Let's go to Bonnie in Illinois. Hi, Bonnie. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. Thank you for letting me speak today. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to say that I'll be praying for you in your diverticulosis situation.
I appreciate
that. I also wanted to say how much I admire Barbara Bush. I thought she was an awesome first lady. And I just listened to what you had played back of what she said at Wesley College, and I just agree with it so much. I'm 51, and my dad and my parents, my mom, are in their 70s, and I find myself more and more now wanting to spend as much time with them as possible because I know that time is precious, and I won't get it back. Every day that goes away, you don't get it back, and every day is precious.
Absolutely. Amen. And couldn't have said that better. We may have to pass the offering plate after that, Bonnie.
Well, hey, I just appreciate all that you guys do, and I love listening to Washington Watch on my way home every day from work. And I just be sending prayers for all of you, and thank you so much for what you do for all of us.
Oh, well, thank you. God bless you. You have a great weekend. Thank you so much. Well, let's go all the way out to West Virginia. Tara, hi. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello. How are you today?
Well, I'm good. How are you?
Doing wonderful. You were talking about diverticulitis, and my husband back in December has it. He perforated. And I've been a Christian for a while, and not exactly sure where my husband stands, but he was in the hospital for a while, and, you know, I prayed, and he healed himself up, so he didn't have to have surgery, but he had a colonoscopy. They said he had to have surgery to remove some of his bowels because of it, and this was just like a week ago, and they opened him up, and they didn't have to take any bowels. He is absolutely fine. So God has answered my prayers, and I just wanted to share.
Amen. I appreciate you sharing that. That is good news, and we like to share good news here. I appreciate you calling, Tara. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Debbie in Mississippi, the Magnolia State. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. I thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to say how much you're truly appreciated in all that you all do in your organization. But I just I was just compelled. I don't do this normally, but I was compelled to share. I'm an older person. I'm in my 60s, and I've seen a lot in my lifetime. And you're so busy through the years trying to get ahead and try to earn that and have that car and have that house. But as was stated earlier on the program, when you see less years ahead of you than you do behind you, you realize several things. We're only on this earth for a very, very short time.
Right.
And the most important thing in life is to see that your family is all understanding God, that they're saved, and that they'll all be with you, because we'll all be there at some point. And life is just so short. And even though you think you've got a lot of time, you really don't. And to just take your Christianity serious and share it with others and see that your family understands it too. And I just had to share that. I thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for calling. It is amazing how quickly time starts to move. And the birthdays and the anniversaries start happening more quickly. And you start looking about, you start looking at life differently. And you know, I had somebody recently, you know, I teach very part-time at Liberty University, and you start looking at do you want to get another degree and advance? And then you start thinking, well, you know, at 58, is that something that really makes sense to do? Isn't that interesting, though? So,
yes. Well, keep your family close. Be slow to anger.
Yes.
And always look at what's important. It's not everything's worth getting, you know, fussy over and causing issues with. Because life's too short for that.
Hey,
but thank
amen.
You. God bless you. And God, your program.
All right. God bless you, too. Thank you so much. Let's go to Tennessee and talk with Andrea. Hi, Andrea.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, in listening to about your diverticulitis and your relationship to food, I can really relate. I do believe at the end of the day it is all about faith to those of us who believe. I just came through a hard trial in my life. And for the first time in my life, I joined a corporate fast that my church did, a three-week fast in January.
Yes.
I have had it pointed out to me that Jesus said, when you fast, he didn't say if you fast, he said when you fast. I'm a health and fitness professional, and I know the research that just keeps coming in more and more about the health benefits of fasting, but more important to us believers is the spiritual benefits of fasting. My personal experience that I want to share with you is that it changed my relationship to food, and I love food, no one more than me, and the coincidental thing is that I am also 58 years old. At this point in my life, I need to eat less food, and I need to every day draw closer to my Lord.
Right.
And it's a way to draw closer, and sometimes our family lets us down. It is about faith and family. That's true. But sometimes our family lets us down, and even being more so, I need more of my Lord. And
amen.
I just want to encourage some biblical principles to try to bring about healing.
Right. I think we lost Andrea. You're listening to Washington Watch. We're just about out of time. Let's go to Cheryl real quick in Oklahoma. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I just heard your show a minute ago, and I heard your subject was faith and family. And I just wanted to encourage people to forgive their spouses, even if they are divorced, and to encourage them to trust God to restore their marriage, even after divorce from the spouse of their youth. I left my husband over 10 years ago, and we've been divorced for 9 years, but God changed my heart about 5 years ago. And I started trusting God to restore my marriage, and I've been praying about it ever since. And I've actually seen changes in my husband in recent months, and he's been more open to reconciling our marriage and our family. And I just want to encourage people to forgive
right.
and to realize how short life is, and that our families are important, and that God does care about our marriages.
Absolutely. Amen. Well, what a good note to end this program on, Cheryl. Thank you so much for calling and sharing that information. And it's been a pleasure to be with you here today. I always enjoy joining you on Washington Watch here. We've had a full show today, and I leave you with this from Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. And friends, if the Lord tarries and the waters don't rise, we'll see you again on Monday. We'll hear from Tony all the way from Israel. God bless.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.